Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show, is hosted by Annex Wealth Management, a fee-only registered investment advisor. Important information about the qualifications and business practices of Annex is available at annexwealth.com. Different types of investments involve varying degrees of risk. Please consult with a qualified fiduciary advisor about your specific situation. Annex Wealth Management is a local fee-only fiduciary providing investment, retirement, tax, and estate planning. Know the difference. Financial planning at every level. Annex Ignite. Annex Comprehensive Wealth. Annex Private Client. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on WTMJ.
Job surge, but the housing market stalls. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show. Great to have you here. I'm Jill Krause, Chief Economic Strategist. Dr. Brian Jacobson is here. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning. Great to be here.
And CEO of Annex Wealth Management, Dave Spano.
Thank you, Joe. Yeah, Brian, it's exactly right. Joe set it up with a job surge, not what was expected, but a number that is really positive because it's better to have job creation than job retraction.
Oh, certainly true, especially after a 2025, where we saw some months where you actually did have a net job loss. One of the things that came with this past week's report was a revision to a lot of those 2025 numbers. Now, this is just because they get more data that comes in, right? Everything's based on a sample, then they get a census, and they can kind of true it up. And we did see that from the private sector, there were job losses in March, April, May, and June, kind of small, but then you did see a little bit more traction as we got into especially October and November. And with that 130,000 headline number in January, that had a lot of people, I think, some smiles on their faces.
And they did. And talk about private sector, obviously, versus public sector.
Correct. Yep.
And one of the good parts is where were the jobs coming from? What sectors were they coming from? Were they coming from smaller companies? Were they coming from restaurants, so on and so forth.
Yeah, and what we saw there, manufacturing, especially in January, finally turning positive after 2 years of not being able to consistently stay above water with job creation. Then we also saw in terms of with food establishment and drinking places, some job creation there. That's been an area that has been it kind of hit or miss ever since COVID. We saw the massive increase of hiring coming out of there. So perhaps there was what was called over-hiring, right? You would hire them even if you couldn't find a place.
And then job hugging, right?
That's right.
That's also happened.
Yep. And now we're in this phase where a lot of people are talking about it's a low hire, low fire environment. But just because that's a season doesn't mean that's what it's going to be for the season ahead. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a key thing. People were thinking that, oh, it's low hire and low fire forever. But instead, it was just low hire, low fire for now.
Yeah. And the Fed, of course, always looks at jobs. And that's one of their mandates. The second, of course, is inflation. We got an inflation number on Friday morning. And what's your take on that?
Yeah, I was really pleased with that report for a number of reasons. It wasn't just the headline number that came in better than expected. So 2.4% year-over-year inflation. The core, so when we exclude food and energy, it was up 2.5%. Those were better than the consensus was looking for. But when you get into the details as well, we actually saw a slight deceleration in goods price inflation. So that's a good thing. And then also a rather decent deceleration in service sector price inflation. So the trend does seem to be the friend of the Fed for now in terms of trying to get
the
2%.
Wait, I couldn't say that. Say that again.
I'm not sure if I can say that again.
The trend is the friend of the Fed.
That's right.
You know, then we looked at what's called the CBO. They released their outlook, and I guess it's your perspective on how you read it.
Sure. Yeah, the Congressional Budget Office, nonpartisan group, right, part of Congress, they are supposed to come out with this periodic assessment of, you know, what's going to happen to the budget over the next, say, 10 years. And there are a lot of assumptions that go into that, of course. One of the assumptions is tariffs, that they're going to stay permanently for 10 years. They also have to make certain assumptions about what the tax code will look like, and then also with all the spending programs. And it wasn't really, I guess, the best picture that they painted, especially from a debt and deficit perspective. You know, GDP growth, they are saying, is going to stay rather decent given some of the demographic challenges, right? We have an aging population. But if we were just to kind of keep frozen in time the tax code, tariffs, and the spending programs, debt to GDP going from about 101% of GDP currently to about 120% by 2036. So not the direction you want to see it head.
And there's little concern for the nation's debt in Washington, D.C. by either the Republicans or the Democrats, and that has been a case that has not changed. But let's talk about something positive, and that is midterm elections. 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue tries to juice the economy, and it really is your perspective. But there are some really good things happening. For example, this stimulation can come from rebates or dividend checks or already authorized government spending to accelerate that. The idea is to accelerate that so you get a positive GDP number. So that could be good. The economy could be doing better, and it could be dislocated from the stock market in the short term.
That is one of my concerns here, is that we could see the economy accelerating while the market itself is maybe a little bit more choppy. Unlike last year, where the economy was a bit more choppy, especially the labor market, but the market itself was just off to the races. So you can have that disconnect, and I think you're exactly right. In terms of what they try to do with the timing of some of the things within their power, as far as with rebate checks, and you can also have different spending. Do they try to front load that in the year a little bit with these lagged effects, where maybe getting a little bit more economic acceleration as the year goes on, especially as you approach that critical period of time, right? The election is in November, but most people have probably made up their mind by October. And so that's oftentimes what we see in the data too. It's not just this administration or the previous one. It seems like every administration really does try to do that in terms of maybe the front loading of some of the stimulus in a midterm election year.
And you showed me a chart that went all the way back to 1938, that midterm elections have this kind of progression throughout the year and an acceleration late in the year.
Yep.
And we're kind of tracking right on top of that right now.
It really does feel like that. Yeah, history doesn't repeat, but it does seem like it does rhyme. And that's what happens with the markets. You get this choppiness, oftentimes more extreme drawdowns, so peak to trough, than you do in non-midterm election years. But then by the time you get towards the clarity around what the composition of Congress is going to be, well, and oftentimes it ends up in gridlock, and markets tend to kind of like gridlock because it gets a little bit more predictable policy environment going forward. That's then where the market tends to get a little bit more traction.
All right, take your economist hat off, put your professor hat on, and grade the earnings report so far.
Well, the earnings report so far, I would give it a good solid A. If I could give an A+, I mean, it's not perfect because there are still two sectors that have negative earnings growth, but we kind of know the reasons why, like real estate, utilities, those are still struggling a little bit. But across the board, it does look like you do have positive earnings growth, positive sales growth. And I think the really interesting thing is that as we're about 75% of the way through earnings season, the average beat is by about 1 to 2 percentage points. So they're not only, there was a high bar going in, but they're actually exceeding it.
And so what I want to do, though, is wrap this up, because if you want to be objective, the economy is doing well. If you look at growth, the unemployment rate, inflation, stock prices, corporate profits, all of those are looking pretty good. And that is not the feeling that you get when you talk to investors. And so part of our job is to make sure that people stay on track. How we do that, folks, is going through a portfolio assessment. We do it every day across all of our branches.
Click the Get Started button, annexwealth.com. You can talk to us in person, and we can show you how all the latest information that you're hearing on this show can affect your portfolio and how we can help. Let's take a look at a strategy that aligns with what matters most to you. One of the ways Annex can help is with our continuing education, and we do it every week. New videos on our social media. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on 620 WTMJ.
Custom-tailored investment and retirement planning from a fee-only fiduciary. Know the difference. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on WTMJ.
Know the difference with Annex Wealth Management. Well, artificial intelligence, or AI, isn't just a tech trend. It is reshaping labor markets, productivity, corporate profitability, and even how wealth is created. And for high net worth investors, AI is accelerating both opportunity and some risks as well, forcing portfolios to evolve faster than ever before. And today we're exploring how you might future-proof your capital in an AI-driven economy. And someone who sees a lot of that here at Annex Wealth Management, Senior Wealth Advisor Anthony Malachnik, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Now, how is AI changing the way high net worth clients think about long-term saving? Because you see a lot of these portfolios with some of our clients here at Annex Wealth Management.
AI is impacting, it seems like, everything in some way, shape, or form right now. And, you know, I was reading an article from the Wall Street Journal, and basically it went back to 2023, and it was looking at productivity growth. How fast is our productivity here in the United States growing? It was basically 2.2% per quarter. Essentially, what economists and investors are saying is our productivity growth keeping up with AI and the advancement from an investor's perspective, or just all of us that are kind of going through this innovation cycle, is historically speaking, when you look at technology, will we be able to keep up with all of this talk and this craze around AI? And what some economists and some investors actually believe is that let's sit tight, let's hold up, let's not just assume that we're just going to continue to grow at a rapid pace, because there is some structural things that I think will be worked out and some kinks that will be figured out. And in my opinion, the next 12 to 36 months is going to be a really important time.
It's kind of interesting to watch, though, when something's growing that fast, let's see how it does. You hear the word bubble a lot, but also maybe you want to start taking a look at some of these companies that are able to keep up as far as the productivity you brought up. You know, if the companies are better at the productivity and they're using AI to their advantage, maybe that's something you want to take a look at.
It is. And every business owner or friend that I know, oftentimes we have conversations around these things, and each industry is unique, but most business owners, most leaders of corporations or organizations, people are putting in plans to be able to adapt and try to stay at least up to speed with the amount of innovation that's coming. I think the interesting thing when you look at it from an investment perspective, I've heard some talk about the gold rush, right? Where you think about going back to the gold rush and then really like the picks and shovels and all of the things that happen around this infrastructure that goes into AI. And who are going to be some of the beneficiaries of that?
And if somebody's not familiar with really how AI is affecting businesses, we think AI, just over the past couple of years, let's say 2-3 years ago, we think, oh, what is this ChatGPT website? It's affecting productivity, not just from a computer standpoint, but also robotics and manufacturing and so many different sectors that it can affect.
Yeah, even from smaller manufacturing or smaller business automation, that their CapEx is going up as well. So they're investing. And that's why I say like the next 12 to 36 months across the entire economy, like how is this really going to impact? What is that growth? And then using history as a guide, the concern is, can we keep up essentially with that? And I'm not sure. I think we're all kind of in it together, and we'll see how fast some of this stuff moves.
It's just some of the things that we're keeping an eye on here with our continuing education at Annex Wealth Management. And what about future-proofing a high net worth portfolio? You got a lot of money, you start seeing some of this stuff, you get excited. Sometimes our eyes are bigger than our stomach with where we want to put our money and diversify. How are we future-proofing that with high net worth portfolios, really meaning with all of the AI advancements?
Faster and better decision making will be a beneficiaries to high net worth clients of ours. Personalized wealth is said, but I think with AI and automation, there's going to be an ability to even go one step beyond that and really tie values, goals, objectives to portfolios, just because we are able to make faster and better decisions using analytics in real time. In retirement, as an example, that's really important, because all of a sudden you stop working, you don't have any income coming in, maybe besides a pension or Social Security, and using analytics to think about all of the different scenarios that could play out. And then not only what are the probabilities that could come out of those scenarios, but beginning to actually try to forecast and predict what might happen. I think that's a fun topic to continue to think around. Obviously, that's excluding things that none of us could ever anticipate. Usually that's some type of geopolitical
life happens.
Issue. Life happens, exactly.
Mm-hmm. What are you seeing, though? Are you seeing clients, generally speaking, are they more curious? Are they more excited? Are they more cautious about all of these AI advancements?
Gamut of all. I'd say most do believe it's here to stay at this point. It's not going anywhere. But yes, it is kind of fascinating to see the difference in opinions there as well.
And like we say, every portfolio tells a story. So like you said, you know, the personal beliefs, the personal, you know, strategies that you want to take with your portfolio, we can help you have a plan with whatever it may be. He is Anthony Malachnik, Senior Wealth Advisor, one of the many resources we have here for you at Annex Wealth Management. Thanks for being on the show again, Anthony.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Know the difference with Annex Wealth Management. Click that Get Started button at AnnexWealth.com.
Financial planning at every level. Annex Ignite. Annex Comprehensive Wealth. Annex Private Client. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on WTMJ.
Hey, we've had several in-person events at multiple locations this month, so thank you if you've joined us. Women in Wealth coming back this month, and an event on how to protect collectibles, antiques, and heirlooms. Space is limited. You can reserve your free spot at AnnexWealth.com. Click events at the top of the page. That will set up your reminder. Valentine's Day weekend, Chief Economic Strategist Dr. Brian Jacobson is here. He's been watching some of the consumer reports, and Americans seem to be spending more on love than ever, literally. Of course, Sunday is the day when there's all the sales, but gosh, $29.1 billion. It seems to be going up every single year for Valentine's spending.
Oh, yeah, and some of that is inflation. You would expect that number to go up, but maybe it's just because we have so much love to share. Now, it's interesting if we dig into some of those numbers. A lot of people, they're going to buy what, like jewelry, flowers, going out to eat, maybe some clothing. Also, my favorite, all the candy. But I tend to, as the economist, I do the day after sales. It's just like with Halloween and Easter. I'm like, I can always wait. I can be patient. Stock up perhaps on discounted chocolate covered strawberries, those little Dove bars. Those are amazing.
Treat yourself to the 99% off sales. Now, during the holidays, we talk about the Santa rally. Is there a Cupid rally?
Oh, that, no, unfortunately not. That would be actually kind of cute to see if there is a Cupid rally. But it does seem like there's January effect. So it precedes February. There's not a lot of seasonal stuff going on in the markets in February typically, but it's more January where you have had a lot of sometimes tax loss harvesting in the year before and people reallocating, maybe repositioning for the year ahead. And there's this old saying that like as goes January, so goes the rest of the year. We'll have to see if that plays out, but it does kind of feel like February has been quite a wild ride. It's almost been like a bucking bronco. Just in terms of the different forces at work, we have seen retail and especially more consumer-facing companies doing a little bit better during earnings season here.
And we'll have to see what the prices on mattresses are for President's Day. It always seems to be a mattress sale for President's Day for whatever reason.
That's right. So I looked into that years ago as far as like, why is it that white goods sales are associated with President's Day? First, I had to look up what are white goods, right? But I guess it was typically like linens and sheets and things like that. And I guess the natural extension is that if you're going to buy linens and sheets, you also maybe need to get a mattress to go with it.
Financial planning at every level. Annex Comprehensive Wealth, Annex Private Client, and Annex Ignite. 9 total locations, and you can visit one of them this Thursday, an in-person event for our Women in Wealth Giving from the Heart, February 19th at 6 p.m. Time for news. Let's go to the WTMJ Breaking News Center.
Planning and investing insight from a fee-only fiduciary. You're listening to Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on WTMJ.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show. Chief Economic Strategist Dr. Brian Jacobson is here. And lots going on with the Middle East. There's another aircraft carrier heading over that way. So you're going to be watching that as far as the economy goes the upcoming week.
Very true. And it will be interesting. So the USS Gerald Ford is headed over to the Middle East to team up with the USS Abraham Lincoln that has already been there, because there's a lot of tension in Iran. We know that just a couple of weeks ago, there were riots and demonstrations in Iran, and it was bloody. I mean, some of the estimates are that the regime in Iran basically ended up killing like 10,000 demonstrators, right? Mm. They cut people off from their internet access. It was also reported that the United States, we were able to smuggle in there 6,000 Starlink communicators. So even though their government tried to seal them off from information from the rest of the world, the U.S. government was able to somehow get those in there to keep them connected.
You kind of wonder if they're policing that too, if they get caught with those.
Oh, yeah, well, very much so. I'm sure that they are, right? And there are talks going on between the United States and Iran in the country of Oman. So it's being mediated, and a lot of it is about, you know, the authoritarian regime there, also their aggression towards Israel, state-sponsored terrorism, and then also their nuclear program. So we're going to have to see what sort of progress comes from this. It does sound as though this move by the United States is almost like a maximum pressure campaign to say, hey, let's make sure that these talks stay talking, that it doesn't have to get what some people would call kinetic, where if it actually does get to the point where there is action, one of the big concerns, of course, loss of life, but then also oil supplies going through the Straits of Hormuz. Iran is very close to it. Whether or not there's a conflict or if they try to, you know, shut things down, that's responsible for about 20% of the world's flow of oil. Now, most of that does go to Europe, but oil is a global market. And if it happens in the Middle East, it can obviously affect global oil prices. I think that what we've also seen with the situation in Iran is some of the volatility in not only Bitcoin, but also gold. So with Bitcoin prices, those actually went down while gold prices went up. A lot of that seemed to be around that time when the Iranian government actually cut them off, the people off from internet access.
Because because we saw a little blip there with the gold price.
Yeah, true. Because, you know, what good does it do you to have a Bitcoin wallet if you can't access the internet? That was one of the concerns.
That's a good point.
So in terms of with the gold prices, people started buying gold instead. But then all of a sudden when it looked like, okay, the Iranian regime, that they are open to talks, then you saw a pullback in the gold prices. So some of the volatility that we're seeing in gold, maybe that's a bit of a thermometer for how hot things are expected to get over there.
And is there something they're going to be watching here? Are there other things that we're importing from Iran?
Yeah, we do not import a lot from Iran. There are certain specialty items, but they are not a major exporter except for oil. And that's one of the ways in which their government actually funds itself is through the oil exports. And when we look at the Middle East in general, I think that one of the concerns is, what about other goods that travel through like the Straits of Hormuz, or that could be somehow interrupted if there is some conflict there? Plus, it's important to remember that even shipping itself is global in nature. So the oil market certainly is. But then the shipping, if you suddenly have, you know, it's more dangerous to send cargo through that area, there's a risk premium. It increases the cost of transport. It can affect costs other places as well. So lots that we really have to watch there. This is one of those things. It's a geopolitical risk. In our mind, we don't like to trade around geopolitical risks. It's one of those things that often the best thing, the best course of action historically has been just to kind of watch, monitor, but don't react to it.
Keep it up with the latest and how it might affect you. If you have a question, by the way, there is an Ask Annex button right at the top of the page at annexwealth.com. We've gotten questions on retirement, milestone ages, taxes, estate planning, selling gold, like we were just talking about. The answers to all those questions are in quick video form on our social media or YouTube page. Or if you'd like us to answer it on the show, we're happy to do that as well. Talk to us in person, too, at Annex. Someone who has seen all kinds of situations and is happy to offer guidance, especially during the tax filing season that we're in right now. The Get Started button is the first step at annexwealth.com, where you can get connected with us along with our client section if you're already on board with us. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on 620 WTMJ.
Money Talk is straight talk from a local fee-only fiduciary. It's time to know the difference. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on WTMJ.
Know the difference with Annex Wealth Management. Your tax return tells a story about your life. Here we are, tax season, your priorities, the financial decisions you make every year. In fact, a lot of advisors say if they could review just one document to understand a prospective client, it would be their Form 1040. Here to explain all of this and what financial planning specialists and tax specialists look at, Arabella Perrins, financial planning specialist here at Annex Wealth Management. Hey, Arabella.
Hello.
And so if you're looking at that Form 1040, can you explain that part of it?
So you can really tell a lot about somebody just by looking over that tax return. And me as a financial planner, I always love looking over someone's tax return and really digging deep to find those tax planning and financial planning opportunities. You should check if you owe tax on your return. So if you look and you're owing taxes, you may have underpayment penalties, it might be time to revisit your withholding and or your estimated tax payment amounts. You can owe penalties if you don't pay enough taxes, but also if you pay your taxes late. So if you're not paying your taxes consistently throughout the year or withholding, you may incur these underpayment penalties, which aren't very fun. So you should always look around and try to evaluate at the end of every single year where you landed in terms of that withholding and estimated tax payments and if there's any adjustments that are needed there.
Are there other things that taxpayers should be looking out for when it comes to deductions as they look ahead? Because a lot of us like to cram for the test. A lot of us like to look at our tax filing a little bit late when the deadline approaches. But throughout the year, maybe a few months leading up to that deadline, should we be paying attention to certain things?
So I'd recommend that you take note of whether you took the standard deduction or you itemized your deductions. Remember, you can take one or the other, whichever is higher. So if your itemized deductions are higher, you could look at potentially maximizing those itemized deductions. Or if you took the standard deduction, but were pretty close to that itemized deduction amount, you can consider whether bunching those itemized deductions may make sense for you, such as charitable donations, property taxes, medical expenses. If you can bunch multiple years of these itemized deductions into one tax year, that could make sense to maximize those itemized deductions for one tax year to really reap the benefits there.
A tax return is not only about the income you get, but where you put that income. What about those contributions to like savings plans or retirement accounts?
Yeah, I really encourage people to take a moment to reflect on the contributions to retirement plans that they've made this year. So looking at if you're currently a W-2 employee, if you're currently working, did you maximize those employer contributions? Are you pretty close to making that maximum? And a lot of the time I see retirees who potentially may just have some part-time earned income, but as long as you have earned income, you can make those traditional and Roth IRA contributions as long as your income is not over those limits. And so a lot of the time when I see people putting together their tax plan for the year, their prospective tax return, we can look at where did your AGI land, your adjusted gross income? Are you able to, with your MAGI, your modified adjusted gross income, be able and qualified to make a Roth IRA contribution for the year? And also, if you're over 50 years old, you do get that additional catch-up contribution.
So taxes could feel very similar year over year, especially if you don't change jobs or you don't have any other companies or nothing really changes. What are some changes that could occur between years and maybe surprise some taxpayers?
Legislation is always changing, and that should be a surprise to no one. Oftentimes, they are hot topic items in the news. But it really pays to keep up with these legislation changes because there's always new opportunities for taxpayers. All of these bring in and introduce a lot of changes that I'd really encourage taxpayers to stay on top of. There's a lot of new opportunities there. Also, aging can often lead to new tax breaks and requirements. I am very jealous of a lot of the tax breaks that older individuals get every single year. If you're over the age of 65, you can get an additional standard deduction. If you reach over age 50 and a half, you get those extra catch-up contributions. Once you reach 70 and a half, you get QCD eligibility. And so as you're aging up every single year, you really want to check, did I cross any of those age thresholds? And do I have access to any new opportunities for my taxes on my return this year?
You're not at those ages yet, Arabella, but it's probably rewarding to see some of the clients take advantage of those ages.
Oh, for sure. And I know that I'll be excited with every single new age that I reach. It's a way to keep on being excited about getting older.
She is Arabella Parents Financial Planning Specialist here at Annex Wealth Management. Thanks for being on the show again.
Thank you.
Know the difference with Annex Wealth Management. Click that Get Started button at AnnexWealth.com.
Financial planning at every level. Annex Ignite. Annex Comprehensive Wealth. Annex Private Client. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on WTMJ.
Hey, thanks for being with us on Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show. This show is also a podcast on demand. As soon as our show is over at the top of the hour, if you are currently a client or thinking about making the switch, take a look at our very active YouTube channel with multiple videos going up every week, including some good ones on taxes and AI investments, and the Annex LinkedIn page with the latest financial trends and events we have going on. The Axiom, that is our newsletter, where you're always going to have the Week in Review video from this show in your email on Sunday morning. Just search Annex Axiom. Other podcasts, too, like The Wealthiest, Ideas, Strategies, and Decisions of the Wealthy in America, and the SWOT podcast, Strengths, Weaknesses, Opportunities, and Threats of the Current Market, with a new episode first thing Monday morning. Chief Economic Strategist Dr. Brian Jacobson is here, and CEO of Annex, Dave Spano.
Thanks, Joe, and thanks for these Valentine Day cupcakes. They're going to go over well. I'm sure my wife won't be upset if I come home with a Valentine's Day cupcake, but folks, grab a cup of coffee as well, because Brian and I are going to kibitz a little bit. Let's start as far east as we can, and that is Japan. Really good election and a mandate, I think, for the new prime minister.
Yeah, in Japan, it has been a source of some problems over the last few years. A lot of times whenever we see some of this really episodic or short-lived volatility, it oftentimes starts in Japan, where suddenly their Japanese government bond yields might go up really quickly, and then it sends ripples throughout the rest of the markets. And what recently happened was actually, I think, a good positive for the direction of their economy and for the markets in general, which is that the Prime Minister, Takeuchi, she won a commanding majority in the lower house elections. So that requires a two-thirds majority. Then this is what's called the LDP, the Liberal Democrat Party. She ran on a platform of basically tax cuts and more spending. And initially, the markets didn't care for the more spending part of it. They liked the tax cuts, basically because Japan has such a high debt to GDP ratio. With this LDP majority, she can actually kind of dial that back a little bit to be like, no, these tax cuts, they can find ways to pay for them where it could actually result in more defense spending, closer relationships with the United States as well. What'll be really interesting to see over the course of the next year is whether or not they try to change their constitution. They have a pacifist constitution where it says that they can have a military, but for only defensive purposes. With the LDP, they've been saying that, look, we want to change this just because of the threat that they have to their west with China. And then you also have North Korea, right? I mean, they're within lobbying distance of a missile from North Korea. And so they said, maybe we need something a little bit to bolster up our defenses. So that was, I think, a big positive this past week.
And the LDP, the Liberal Democratic Party, they want to get closer to President Trump. And so we'll have to see how that comes together. Mm-hmm. You and I remember back, talked about a lost decade.
Yeah.
That was 1990.
Oh, yeah.
And so we're going on 35 years. So we'll see if it's really a false start or something bigger than that. You know, you talk about policy as well. You know, we try to look forward and have 2020, but you got a great saying, hindsight is better than 2020.
It really is, because with hindsight, you can see things perfectly almost. Not exactly perfectly, but 2020 vision is like normal vision. It's not perfect Superman X-ray vision, but that's what you get when you can use hindsight. And that's one of the things that we did get, I think, as far as with the jobs report that came out. When you look at the pattern of the job creation and destruction that took place, the big message that we got from these back month revisions, these big benchmark revisions that they had, was that the economy, I think, was still reeling from the rapid rate hike path of the Fed that they started in 2022 through 23. And 2024, beginning about April, that's when you actually saw the labor market begin to kind of show some fissures in it. So like January of 2025, so this was pre-tariffs, right, pre-Liberation Day, there was actually negative job creation in that month. So it's not as though the job market was in the best of places when we actually started 2025. And when you look at what the Fed did, they were saying that, oh, look, the labor market is so strong. And that's why they went on pause that December 2024 and held it there for so long, because they're like, everything's fine here. Comes to find out, it wasn't. So yep. My favorite position to play, I should win a Heisman Trophy for this, is a Monday morning quarterback.
Yeah, let's let's see the pose. You know, the last thing I want to get to is you can't get away from discussion around AI, right? And it really got the market's attention over the last couple of weeks. And not because the AI is going away, but software really took a punch in the face because what was happening with some of these large language models may be upsetting their policies.
That's right. And we actually saw it almost seemed like these, you could call them like these random acts of chaos being shown throughout the markets, where at first it was Anthropic, their coding platform. All of a sudden people are like, oh, well, why do you need to hire a software company to do something when you can just do it yourself? Then it went into like legal services, data providers. And the most recent one that it hit was just looking at logistics, right? So shipping companies, trucking companies, and that, all because there was a company in Korea who only has about $2 million in revenue. And they made a $3 million loss last year. They used to be a karaoke company. They used to make those machines. Yeah. They pivoted to doing artificial intelligence. And they said, look, we came up with this method for scheduling and logistics. And all of a sudden, you saw transportation stocks take a face dive. Now, it did bounce back a little bit from that. But it does seem like the market has kind of shifted from looking at where is the AI, the value creation, to who is it going to disrupt. And sometimes it looks like maybe they're jumping to some conclusions
the
here.
AI in the karaoke machine, that's interesting. They probably make you sound like Bocelli at the end of the day. By the way, Solo Mio, have you seen it? Outstanding. It's a chick flick, but it is really, really good. Bocelli is in it, and Kevin James, it's worth a view.
Do you have a karaoke song?
My favorite one was doing a duet with my brother. It was from Greece. I would usually do the John Travolta. My brother would do Olivia Newton-John.
That's so
you made him do Olivia Newton-John.
Of course.
Another episode of Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show. If you missed some of it, it's always available in podcast form wherever you get your podcast. It is available right now on the radio station website as well. Just search Annex Money Talk. For Dave Spano and Dr. Brian Jacobson, I'm Jill Krause. Have a great week. Quick note on our Women in Wealth series coming back on February 19th. This coming week, our Brookfield headquarters. Click events at annexwealth.com to get your spot. Join us again next Saturday at 10 a.m. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on 620 WTMJ.
Advice and opinions expressed during Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show, are solely that of the hosts or guests of Annex Wealth Management, and not WTMJ Radio or Good Karma Brands Milwaukee, LLC.